Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus and his disciples sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which was across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house. He hid among the tombs. When Jesus saw him, the man cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirits to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down a steep embankment into the lake and were drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town, to the folks in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. And this is the gospel of the Lord. Dennis Mugabu was in the wrong place a number of times in his life. He couldn't help it. He was born there. He was a native of Rwanda. And during the genocide in Rwanda, Dennis lost pretty much his whole family. He went back after things had calmed down and looked and looked and looked, and it took him 6 months to find his mom. And only she, of his whole family, and it was a big one, remained. Dennis was lucky enough, I suppose, to get out of Rwanda as a refugee. He moved to Western Canada. And in Western Canada, he lived among Rwandan refugees. They warned him. They said, "This is a nice country, but stay away from those big white guys with tattoos." They said they have tattoos on both arms. They said, "They're rednecks and they're trouble. They are rednecks and they are trouble." But see, Dennis didn't think of people in terms of black and white, good or bad. So he sought out one day a bar where these big white guys with the tattoos were all drinking. And he walked into the bar, and as innocently as he did, he said to all the guys standing there, "Are you rednecks?" One of them turned around and said, "Why do you want to know?" You see, sometimes it's dangerous to be in the wrong place. But Jesus in the gospel is in the wrong place. He is in the territory that we know to have been pagan. It was the Greeks lived there. This wasn't Jewish territory at all. So he goes there. He gets out of the... Why is he there? Why is he there? He is there for one reason and one reason only. And as soon as he steps his foot on land, the reason emerges. It is a man. But it's a man who has been so dehumanized that he is barely recognizable as one of our species. Luke tells us he is possessed by demons, legions of demons. What does it mean to be possessed? The 20th, 21st century mind doesn't really understand possession that well, but we should, because we are surrounded by evil. We are an evil world where evil people do evil things for personal gain, and they don't care about the consequences because they are possessed. They're possessed by their desire to have power. They're possessed by their desire to enrich themselves. And they don't care how they do it. So they'll walk right over the little guys to get what they want. Couldn't we call them possessed? There are people who are owned by their addictions. People who are so driven by the need to abuse substances, to get whatever feelings those substances give them, that they destroy their lives and they destroy the lives of their families in the process. There are people who are so bereft of moral fiber that they will use other people lustfully rather than realizing that the gift we have of relationship is a gift of love, and that every relationship we have, no matter with whom it is, ought to be a loving relationship. Yeah, there is possession in this world that we live in here. We don't have to go back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to find it. But we find it in the picture that Luke gives us of this man. We find what being possessed by evil does to you. We see how this man is living without, he lives among the tombs. He's a dead man walking. There's no joy in his life. There's no community in his life. He's from the town, but he's been driven to solitary places. People fear him. They resent him. And they want him to stay away from them. So he has no home. He covers himself with no clothing. He's like an animal. That's what sin does to us. It takes away every vestige that we have of life, because life can only be found in God. So Jesus gets off the boat. The man doesn't have to ask him a thing. Immediately, Jesus sees what's going on, and the mere encounter with Jesus is healing. Immediately, the demons are terrified of what Jesus will do because they know they have met their match. And while the world of human beings around Jesus at the time, they don't know who he is, the demons sure do. What do you want of me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? See, they've been living very comfortably in this guy for Luke tells us, for a long time. and now they are about to be dispossessed into a herd of pigs. Jesus says one thing to the man. What is your name? What is your name? And the answer he gets is legion. The man says his name is what his disease is. His name is what afflicts him. It's like calling a person homeless. Well, that's a homeless guy. Or he's a drunk, or he's no good, or he's a jerk. What are the names that we give to people that express what we see in them that is so negative? Because that's the way this man has begun to see himself. I am legion. There's so much wrong with me. And when Jesus sends the herd of pigs into the water there by giving the demons the go-ahead to go into them, the guys who are tending the pigs are understandably frightened. I mean, I don't know what language they spoke, but something like, holy crow, look at that. What got into those guys? We got to get out of here. It might have been the way the conversation went. So they go, and they go to the town and the countryside, and they say, there is something really strange going on out there with old Legion, that crazy guy who walks around the tombs, who's unclean, who's an outsider, who's an outcast even among outcasts. And so they go out, and what do they find? From one encounter with the living God, they find a man who is fully clothed. His humanity is restored. He's in his right mind. He's saved. He's whole again. And he is sitting at the feet of Jesus as any good disciple would. Here is a man who is completely restored to his humanity, but also who is given the gift of salvation. He knows that his Redeemer liveth. But the people in the town don't get it. The people in the town say, Jesus, get away from us. We don't like this power. We sort of like this guy the way he was because he fit into our categories. We didn't have to worry about him because we knew he was a demon-possessed oddball, and we had him out in the cemetery, and we liked him there. Now we've got to change our minds and figure this out. And what's gone on here? Please leave us. And what had Jesus really done? Jesus had simply entered into a loving relationship with this man. His only words were, what's your name? I'd like to get to know you, because when I know you, my love and my grace can flow into you, and things can change. And I think the message of this gospel is that when we encounter Christ, we encounter the one, the only one, who can transform us. Completely transform us. The one who can save us from everything that possesses us and that shouldn't possess us. The one who can save us from our greed, from our blindness, from our anger, from our animosity. The one who can save us from our bitterness and make us whole. It all starts with a relationship. It all starts with what's your name. Dennis, in the bar, had disturbed a few the guys with the tattoos and the big burly white guys. And his question, if you'll remember, is, are you rednecks? And they turned around and said, what's it to you? And he said, well, I'd like to be a black redneck. I'm not making this up. They said, what? He said, I'd like to be a black redneck. He said, okay, come on with us. They gave him a cowboy hat. They brought him to a barbecue. And they had dinner together. See, stereotypes evaporate when we engage people as people. When we realize, as Paul realized, writing to the Galatians, in Christ there is no Jew or Greek, no slave, no female, no free, no male, no female. All are one. All are one. We are one with the homeless. We are one with the addicted. We are one with the outcasts. We're one with the people on the fringes because they are our brothers and sisters. And if they are ever to be transformed by the love of Christ, it will only be because one of his disciples comes to them and says that their freedom is available in Christ, and then witnesses to the love of Christ that has been active in our lives. That's what the demoniac did. Once he was restored, he wanted to go with Jesus, and I suppose Jesus could have let him, but he had other plans in mind. He said, go back to your own people and tell them what God has done in your life. And that's a mission for every one of us. We need to first be aware of what God has done in our lives. Be aware of the transformation. Be aware that we have chains that need to be broken, and that only Christ can break them. And then share that with others who also need to have their chains broken so that they can be set free. God bless you. Amen.